Well, as you know, we've been working our way through a series, haven't we? We've been trying to find out just what exactly it is that God wants us to know about Him. How has He revealed Himself? Instead of the ideas that we put in our heads about what God is, we've been seeking the Scriptures and asking, what has God shown us about who He is? And we've looked at that God is a good God. We've discovered He's sovereign. He does whatever He pleases. That He's holy. He's completely different. He's completely other. There's nobody like Him. That His wisdom is unsearchable. You just can't know the wisdom. The justice of God, how just He is and how He loves justice. He absolutely loves justice so much and paid the price for justice. And today we come to a very important topic. And I know you've heard a million sermons on the love of God. And I'll tell you what, pastors are going to keep preaching until people start doing it. Because we have to. We must love one another because God first loved us. This morning we find ourselves in John. This is the essence of what this text is about. It's in verse 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. That's really the essence right there. But I'd like to read all of the scripture to you, if you don't mind, because I believe that this is a very important pericope. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. Catch that? Anyone who loves, and we're not talking sentiment here, we're talking about real love. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. Does that sound familiar today? John 3:16, right? Same author, same God, right? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. So this morning, I just want you to think about all the different religions of the world and all the things that all the different religions of the world tell you. And I can guarantee you will hear people say that God is a creator, that God is just. You'll even hear monotheistic religions that will say that God is one. And we agree with all those things, right? There's a lot of things that we have in common with all those other religions. But I'll tell you, there is one thing that is said about our God that is not said in any other religion. And you know what it is? God is love. This triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who so closely relate to one another, that so much so that they become one in their unity and love for one another within the Godhead, tells us that God is love and calls us to love one another because He is love. And God just absolutely insists upon it. So this morning, I want to talk about some of the ways that God has expressed His love to you and to me. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, and I certainly cannot go on long enough to tell you even on each of the 4 points that I'm going to go over on expressions of God's love, because let's face it, I couldn't get done today if I did that. There's not a Steeler game, so I could preach long, right? But I don't think you want me to go long enough to tell you everything about how God expresses His love, because it's inexpressible. But today, we're going to hit on the main topics of how God has shown us throughout time how He absolutely loves us. God is love, so He has to show it, because love is not just a sentiment. It's something that's shown and displayed and acted upon. And so God acted because God is love. And it all started with His creative work. And I just want you to think about this today, because God is a great creator God, and His love is shown throughout all of His creation. It is an amazing creation in which we live. See, here's the deal. If God is love, love must have an object, right? Love is not satisfied if it does not have an object of that love. So God has no option in this. He must make something to love him. He has to, because he's not satisfied, and he will not deny himself. And so he makes free individuals, and think about the emotion of all that. Think about the risk he's about to take. He says, I am going to make human beings in my image. I'm going to make them free. They're going to be able to be stiff-necked and rebellious and seek their own way and run from me. But they are also going to be able to return to me. And they're going to be able to love me. They're going to be able to seek my heart. And that's going to be awesome. So I'm going to do this thing no matter what it costs. It's going to cost his son. Because Christ was crucified from the foundations of the world, this wasn't a reaction to human beings. He knew that this was the cost of creating. And so he begins to create. And I just want you to think about that creative work. Oh, man. I just want to take you through a couple of pieces of it this morning. First of all, I want you to think that there's just chaos, right? It says that God's Spirit hovered over the chaos. He began to bring order. And as he began to bring order, he started putting constellations in the sky because he wanted you and me to be able to look into the heavens and not see blank. I mean, he could have created the earth without any other planets, right? But he wanted us to know that when we look up, there is an incredible God that made it beautiful and loves us. And he wasn't done, because then he begins to separate the water from the ground, and he raises mountains out of the ground and causes valleys to be developed. And he says, I want them to look down into the valleys and go, wow. I want them to look up to the mountaintops and have their eyes drawn to the heavens. I want them to know what an awesome God I am and how much I love him. I want them to see beauty. And then he began really doing neat stuff. he says, let's make sure that there's beautiful stars in the sky. Yes, we've got the constellations, but let's make the moon and all this beautiful stuff around. Let's do some really incredible stuff here. Let's start to make some stuff on earth, okay? So the invisible hand of God moves across the water and says, let them swarm. Just let them swarm with fish. Every kind imaginable. Let them be small. Let them be as small as a minnow and as large as a whale. Put all kinds of stripes on them. Make them gorgeous colors. And let's put things down in the coral, the corals on the valleys of the oceans and such. And let's just make it gorgeous. Let's put things there that they will take thousands of years to find, so that they just every day say, wow, look at that. Oh, I didn't realize that was there. And just constant, the glories of God being seen. He wanted us to constantly, you know, there's more to the goodness and the love and the mercy and the incredible creative genius of this genius. And he wanted us to see that this is a God who really loves us. And then he says, let's move it up even higher. Let's put all kind of beautiful vegetation. Oh, and I don't want it to just make fruit. But we will make the fruit beautiful. But let's make it blossom too before it goes to fruit. Let's make it gorgeous. You know how around Christmas time, some of you are right now thinking about what you're going to get that grandkid or that kid for Christmas. And you just can't wait for that little toddler. You're like, oh, they're going to love this. They're going to love this. This is what God's doing in creation. They're going to love this. Wait till they see this. He starts putting animals on the earth. He says, wait till they see the koala bear. They're going to love that. You know, they're going to love the giraffe. Their eyes will be drawn north. You know, they are just going to love what they see. He paints birds in the sky with the ease of a painter's brush, all kind of wings and sizes, from tiny little birds to birds the size of human beings, and just makes it all just glorious. And then he does it. Then he really does it. He starts to create us in a very special way. Yeah, animals are awesome. But then he says, I'm going to give these people a rational brain. I'm going to give them a big upper brain so they can really think incredible thoughts. I'm going to make them marvelous because I'm making them in my image, and these are the ones that are going to love me. The dogs and the cats are going to love their master. These are going to love the master. I want them special. And you know, last night, right before the service began, at the Saturday night service, Ray Reinbold, our drummer, that's been going for a couple months because of the health issues and died on the operating table twice, and they brought him back. And he's been through an incredible journey. He made it back to church last night. I'll tell you, when he walked through that door, everyone that was there, he came off the elevator, and everyone that was there just whew, around him and hugged him, and tears in our eyes and down our cheeks, welcoming our friend back. And I want you to imagine what it's like to be God when he's about to create people for him to love and to love him back. I swear, that clay that he used to mold us together had to be moistened by his tears. And as he knit us together, he was just up there. They're going to be so special. I love them. I know it's going to cost, but I adore these things that I've just created. And he made you, and he made me. And he was excited about it. Oh, he knew we'd be a lot of work. It's like bringing a puppy home, right? You love that puppy, but you know it's going to be a lot of work. But God's up to the task, and he knows we're well worth it, because what will you pay for love? What will you pay? God will pay anything for love. Man, he just loves his creation. Let's read it together. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Have you ever thought about how much you're treasured? How much God just wants to hold you close to his heart and say, my child, I love you. Oh, I don't think we can ever grasp this kind of love. As much as wonderful as it is to take your little three-year-old who's gone astray and nurture them back into love, that doesn't even come close to what God did for us. His constant care is just amazing, isn't it? I mean, everything that has to work together to keep all this creation working, aren't you amazed by it too? I mean, I was in Ecuador one time on a mission trip, and these people, one of the problems that they have there is they have to use eye drops or it'll damage their eyes because they are so close to the sun at the equator. And we forget just how precarious this earth is, as it's tilted just right so that we don't burn or freeze. We forget that it has to be just the right distance from the sun so that it all works. And just the right amount of rain has to fall so that it doesn't flood the earth but keeps it nurtured. And this God who notices when a bird falls from the air and dresses a lily more wonderful than Solomon, this God cares for you and for me. You know, when I travel, I'm just amazed. You know, when you go across the country, and you go from one state into another state, and you pass through the major cities of that state, and you get caught in the traffic, you know what I'm talking about? Just one trip to Pittsburgh. Just imagine that all across the country. Okay? I think, how do we feed all these people? Where's all the gas and oil come from? How does this happen? It's God who cares, caring for his creation, constantly watching over us, doing all kinds of things. I mean, things that we don't even realize he's doing. Things that, like, taking care of us all day long and, these massive things, but then these little intimate things. Things like, you know, like when we go to bed at night and we go unconscious and God begins his little work just caring for us, making sure that our brains continue to work so that our hearts continue to pump, so that the bladder works, and he even gave us some storage so we can get a couple hours of sleep. It's awesome, isn't it? The poison's getting ejected from our system. It gave us the ability to dream. What's that worth? Even if you don't remember your dreams, everybody dreams all night long, especially during the REM processes. And psychologists tell us that we use these dreams to work out problems that happen during our day or our week or our lifetime. And these things are marvelous gifts to us that we are able to be cared for even while we sleep. God is caring for us all the time. We're just not aware of it. I love this quote. It makes the spirit soar to think that the creator of the heaven and earth can know us and love us with a pure eternal love. Be touched by that today, that this God loves you like that. If you worry all the time, hear this verse. Let's read it together. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He just does. And if you're not confident of that, consider this fact, Christ's sacrifice. For Christ loves you. You heard it in the text. You know it from John 3:16. You see, here's the deal. You can, give without loving, right? But you cannot love without giving. You can't. And so God so loved that he gave. And he gave his son, Jesus Christ, the best thing in heaven for you and for me. He gave. And he gave a great, great sacrifice. Verse 9, let's read it together. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. I wonder if the only reason we always memorize John 3:16 is because it comes earlier in the New Testament. That's just a marvelous verse there, isn't it? He showed us. He didn't just love us, he showed us how he loves us. He gave Jesus Christ so that we might have eternal life because he wanted to redeem us. Because he said, I don't want them dying like animals. If these special creations of mine die, even though they die, yet shall they live. And so he redeemed. Because God loves. And so he redeems. Friends, he paid an enormous price for you and for me. Be touched by that today. There's no one that loves you more. I have a 1.5-year-old granddaughter. Now, she has me wrapped around her little finger. And this would be a great time to put her picture up on the screen, but I didn't think to do that ahead of time. But I'm telling you, I want you to imagine right now that my granddaughter went to a construction site like Mr. Magoo and got on one of those lifts and got up on one of those beams and there was a plank sticking out there off of the beam and my granddaughter started walking out on that beam. Do you think I'd reach out and grab her or go running out on the plank to get her? Do you think I would? You're right, I would. I don't know about all of you. But I'm telling you, I do it for her. And that's what Jesus can say. Jesus can say, some people might do this for a friend. But would you do it for an enemy? While we were the enemies of God. Not that he was our enemy, but we made ourselves enemies. He died for us. He went out on a plank. In fact, he went out on a real limb, didn't he? And spread his arms wide so that you might know that you're loved. Know that you're loved. For God so loved, he gave. Then he gave his Christian conscience. And isn't that a marvelous gift? Have you ever thought about all the mistakes you didn't make because you had a Christian conscience? I want to talk about this a little bit because it's just a marvelous gift that God has given us. I want to start by telling you about a little kid. He was burying his goldfish in the yard, and he dug a hole and he buried it, and he's patting down the last dirt, and the neighbor across the bushes says, "Hey, what are you doing, Jimmy?" And he says, "Burying my goldfish, it died." He says, "Well, that looked like it was a pretty good-sized hole for a goldfish." He says, "It is. It's inside your cat." Now, I tell that story because cats are cats, right? Cats have instinct. They just do what cats do. They eat goldfish, okay? But you are a human being, and you have an upper brain, and you can rethink and learn and be trained into the ways of righteousness. We can learn new ways. We can change. Isn't that awesome? God loved us so much that in spite of the fallenness of this world, that we can change and we can be loved and we can love and experience that incredible gift of being loved by another person because we have a Christian conscience, because we don't treat everyone like a bunch of perverts, but we love them. And it makes love possible to come back to us. This is a marvelous gift that God has given us. It has saved so much pain in the world. Boy, do we need this message. I want you to think about when John was writing this. This is one of the later writings of John, and he wrote this during the Nero persecution. Now, that was one of the most horrible times to be in the world. Nero was a great persecutor. It's about A.D. 62 when that all broke out. And he's writing it about that time. And I just want you to imagine this. Think about it. What it was like. I mean, they're throwing Christians to lions and nobody stops them. Because after all, you know, it's A.D. 62. Get over it. Right? This is what we do in our culture. It's into that culture that John says, you've got to love one another because God loves us. And God does this amazing thing of showing us what love is and calling us to love in the same way. And this is one of the most marvelous things about being a pastor. I love being a pastor for this reason. When I see people change, Pastor Kathy's been here long enough to see a lot of you people change. She's watched the journey. And it is a marvelous thing to be able to just stand back and see a person change over time. It keeps me going. I tell you, I get up in the morning, I'm excited to see who's going to change this week. Because I know it's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit gets involved in our lives. He comes into our lives and he changes us. This is what we're told here in 1 John. Let's read it together. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And it happens. It happens over time. Sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes it happens slowly. But it happens. People change when the Spirit of God gets involved in their life. It's just that simple. I've watched it over and over and over. And if they don't change, I have a pretty good idea they still need to change. And they need to truly accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because something's amiss when people aren't changing over the long haul when they've accepted Jesus Christ. Because God is a God of great love, and he changes people. And it's just like, it's almost like getting a flu vaccine. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it doesn't feel real natural when you first become a Christian because you're used to all kinds of, you know, crazy behaviors. And then all of a sudden you become a Christian. And it's like getting a flu shot that, you know, right after the flu shot, you're like, man, I'm not sure I should have done that. I don't feel quite, I'm not 100% today. But then in a couple of days, you're like, wow, I'm really glad I did that flu shot. I'm walking through, you know, a virus war zone. And I don't even know I'm being protected. And this is what the Spirit of God does in our lives. And it just begins to transform and make us more loving. And we may not even realize that it's happened. Friends, allow this work to happen in your lives. And it starts by believing that God loves you. It starts by believing that Jesus Christ died on a cross, not for the world, but for you. When you believe that, it's got to change something. And you're going to become a more loving individual. You just got to, if you believe that. You have to. You know, I think we need a more loving world. I was on a trip one time in Jamaica. I have this picture at home, and I forgot to scan it this week. I was wanting to get this scan and put it up on the screen, but we were traveling and different things going on. Just didn't get it done. But this is a picture. Me with about 30 little Jamaican kids in an orphanage where we were building an orphanage. And these 30 kids are like hanging all over me. I've got them on my shoulders and on my lap, on both knees, you know, and all the, you know. And it's like you take one picture of that, say, what does not belong here? It's not the white face. It's racism and hatred. That's what doesn't belong. Friends, God changes. He really does. So how do we respond to God's love? Well, we spread love. I mean, we have to. There's a wonderful editorial this week about the value of human life. And one of the things that she said in her article, don't we really want to make sure children are able to be born into a place of love? Don't we want more joy for more people, as difficult as life always is? I mean, don't we want more love, not less? We're in this together. And it's long past time to live like it. You know, we're right in the middle of an election. And can I just tell you this morning, I don't know whether you're Republican, Libertarian, or Democrat, but I love you. Can you just hear that this morning? Because it doesn't matter. You're a member of the kingdom of God. And that's what's really important. What could be more important than to just love one another? It's what everybody needs. So here's what you got to do. You got to act out in love. You just got to act out in it. It's like God's love. It has action. Something's got to happen, right? There's got to be a transformation. We can't just go around saying, I love you, and not love you. 1 John 3:18, let's read it together. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. All kind of actions, random acts of love, intentional acts of love. Something's coming up here for our church, and I just want to get you ready for this because we're going to do this, okay? It's the second week of November. You're going to wear work clothes. We're going to go out. We're going to do just random acts of love following the service. We're just going to get out there. We're going to clean up the streets. We're going to go to nonprofits and, you know, whatever we can find to do, we're going to go do some loving. Now, we're not going to change the whole world, but I hope we change us because we need more love, not less. And I hope that we get changed that day. And whatever we're doing, that love just has a way of finding its way in all this darkness around us in this world right now. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. You know, service is really just love in work clothes, isn't it? I would encourage us to really do it, to be real about this, you know. We were just down to see Jesus. We didn't see Jesus. We saw the play, Jesus, down in Lancaster. I would encourage you to go. It's going to be there all year till Christmas. I would just encourage you to go and see this incredible play. It's really worth seeing. It'll be there after the New Year's. You can see it again. It's a wonderful representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Incredible theater. But one of the things that I was reminded driving through Lancaster, drove past an Amish farm, and it came back to my mind about those Amish that day that the shooter went into an Amish school and shot up a bunch of little kids. And that night, the Amish parents said, "We love that man." That's pretty challenging, isn't it? And we can't even love our spouse because he misplaced the keys or whatever. Be challenged by real love, friends. Be challenged by it. And then grow in confidence. I mean, if you know that God loves you this way, if you know that God, you know, created you with this kind of spirit, you know that God sent his son to die for you, you know all these facts. If you believe upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, be confident about it. Know that he loves you. Don't face your life with fear. Don't believe that lie. You know that lie that people say, "I think God hates me." Come on. That is not from God. Send that back to hell where it came from. That did not come from God. It is very clear that God loves you. Accept that love. Accept it. Be loved into the kingdom of God if you're not already. If you're living with fear, you need to believe more in the love of God. Because yes, he's holy. Yes, he's just. Yes, he's righteous. Yes, he has commands he once kept because they're good living. But that holy and righteous God, at the essence, is love. 1 John 4:18. Let's read together. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. So friends, when I see small behavior, I just know that they do not believe yet that God fully loves them. There's There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I could not think of a more lovable character than Snoopy holding a heart. So friends, this morning, can I just level with you? If you're an unloving individual, you must not have the love of God in you. John is so bold that he goes so far to say that if you say you love God but you don't love people, you're a liar and you make God out to be a liar. That's a bold statement. So will you be transformed today? Will you allow the love of God come into your life and be loved into the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God that we pray all the time, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Let us learn to love like God. Dear Lord God, we do not want to be hypocrites or liars. We know we have emotional responses that make us ashamed sometimes. And Lord, we do confess that to you. For you know all about us. We can't pretend before you. But Lord, we do want to be loving individuals. And we just confess to you that we have not loved as you have loved. We have not loved one another as we ought. We've held grudges, refused to forgive, never got over small living or childhood hurts. And I just, right now, Lord, I would pray that those rifts and those hurts would be healed at this moment. That people would hand that off to a loving God and that their lives could be made new today. No matter what the abuse, no matter what the hatred or name-calling that they experienced, tell them today that none of that was true, none of that was from you. Speak into their hearts. Help them to feel your love and to know it's real. Help them to know that there is a caring, nurturing God, a God who has paid incredible price for his love and works hard on our behalf. Almighty God, we pray that right now, if there's anybody here who's been living a life of hatred or prejudice, that right now that they would be convicted of that in their hearts and that they would have their lives transformed. If there's anybody here that shouts across the dividing line of blue and red, that right now they would have a change of heart and understand that people on both sides of that aisle want a better life for everybody, just have different ideas of how to get there. And Lord, we would pray for anybody that still feeling hatred toward their spouse, or their parent, or their child, or their neighbor. And who is our neighbor, Lord? Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in your sight. Who's your neighbor? That guy we hate, the guy that cut us off in traffic. Lord, you know we're sinners, huh? We start down that list, you know. So God, we confess to you that we need your help. And we open our hearts to your heart, inviting you, Lord, to come into our hearts and to change us. Transform us, Lord, so that we might be able to love, because it's hard sometimes in this world. Help us, Lord. Help us to be more loving. Change us. Transform our lives. Anoint us from heaven. And cause us to be your kind of people. Let people know that we are yours because of the love that they see in us. lives. Lord, we thank you for speaking into our lives today. We thank you, God, for all the messages that have ever been preached and taught on love. And we just pray that today, that this message would have your blessing and bring clarity into our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for those who've been able to get back in the flock tonight, or today, I mean. And we know, Lord, that you are the one who leaves the 100 or 200, maybe the 200 here this morning, to go and to seek the lost, the sinner, the unsaved. Because you care about all of them. Lord, we pray that you might use us. That we might go and seek to bring people to salvation because of your love that you have for us and for them. So God, we pray now that you would pour your Spirit into our lives. Lead us by your Spirit as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And all God's people said,